Good morning. I will present you our works about dynamic soil properties in urban soil in New York City. So this work is a part of a larger collaborative project between USDA and RTAS and Brooklyn College. So in a context of increasing urbanization, we need more knowledge about urban soils and their functioning. Since urban soil perform essential functions in the city, like regulation of water flow and quality, carbon storage, reservoir of biodiversity, platform for buildings, and support for food and biomass production. And that's why they are involved in many modern urban management issues, like urban agriculture, green infrastructure, urban reforestation, and ecosystem restoration, and also brownfield remediation. So in New York City, a citywide soil survey was completed by NRCS Soil Survey Group and is now available on the web soil survey site. And so the survey will be present this afternoon by Dr. Cho. And so now this project is the aim is to focus on the microbial diversity in this urban soil in New York City, since microbial communities are involved in essential soil function and are sensitive to environmental changes. So the objectives are to collect the dynamic soil properties and microbial data in a range of soil in New York City, so soil from different land uses. So we have many parks and forests, but also green infrastructure, and soil more or less strongly influenced by human activities, so according to the nature of parent materials. So we differentiate soils from naturally deposited materials and soil from in human transported materials, and also according to the management of the vegetation cover. So we have sites with managed vegetation cover, like turf, and sites with unmanaged vegetation cover, like woodlands. So the objective is to determine the microbial diversity and to correlate it with the dynamic soil properties and the surrounding environment parameters. So in this presentation, I will present you the first result for the dynamic soil properties for 8 pedants by focusing on the influence of human activities and especially the human transported materials on dynamic soil properties. And the microbial diversity data will be present this afternoon by Alonso Cordova. So we sampled 8 soils, so 4 soils formed in naturally deposited materials under woodland and shrubby cover, and 4 soils in human transported materials with more than 10% of artifacts under managed and unmanaged vegetation cover. So for each soil, the profile was described, and we collected samples in each horizon, and we performed a range of chemical and physical analysis on the fine fraction, including heavy metals contained by XRF, pH and salt, carbonates, organic carbon, and available macronutrients. So here you have the repartition of the sampling site in New York City. So we have 4 soils in Staten Island, 2 soils in the Bronx, 1 in the Queens, and 1 in Manhattan. So now I will show you the soil profiles. So first, for the soil from naturally deposited materials. So we have soil from the Aledon, Deerfield, Todd Hill, and Charlton series. So as you can see, we have different kinds of parent materials. So it is mainly glacial and glacial fluvial deposits. So some are covered by aeolian deposits, for instance, in Charlton series. And we have also a serpentine soil in Staten Island. So in the soil from Aledon series, so we have a shallow water table and so aquatic condition, and also a frangipane between 57 and 155 centimeters. And the soil from Deerfield series is also characterized by aquatic condition with a shallow water table. And another particularity of this soil is its location, which is adjacent to a salt marsh. So all these soils are developed under woodland cover, except the serpentine soil, which is under shrubby cover. Now for the soil form in human transported materials. So we have two soil form in coal ash and two soil form in construction debris. So for the soil form in coal ash, we have, for the Moshuru series, we have a shallow water table, and whereas in the Riker series, we have more drier soils, and both are under unmanaged tree cover. For the soil in construction debris, so you can see the big fragments along the profile, especially in the sea horizon. And so the soil from in the soil from the Secaucus series has a shallower water table and is developed under managed turf cover, whereas the LaGuardia soil is more drier and developed under shrub cover. So in this soil form in human transported materials, we have an important part of the volume which is bigger than 2 millimeters. So we can have up to 70% of the subvolume, which is the coarse fraction. And this coarse fraction is mainly composed of artifacts. So here you have the example of the soil from LaGuardia series. We can find bricks, coal, slag, glass, and also in this case, shells. So now, if we look at the distribution of heavy metals along the soil profile, so here you have the distribution for the naturally deposited material soils. So you can see that we have an enrichment in lead, copper, and zinc in the organic surface horizon. And also, we have very high content in chromium and nickel in the serpentine soil. So for the soils from in human transported materials, so you can see that the distribution along the profile is more variable. And we have enrichment in heavy metals in average, and we can also have enrichment in deeper layers according to the nature of the human transported materials. So now for the pH, so soil from in naturally deposited materials and soil from in coal ash are acidic, whereas the soil from in construction debris are neutral to slightly basic and contain carbonate, so you can have up to 80 grams per kilogram of carbonate in sea horizon in Secaucus series, so which is in relation with the presence of carbonated artifacts like concrete or shells in the case of the LaGuardia series. So concerning the salinity, we don't have saline soil, but we can notice that there is high salt content in the Deerfield soil, especially in the deeper layers, which is probably related with its location close to a salt marsh. So now for the organic matter and the available macronutrients. So here you have the range of organic carbon along the profile. So the maximal value corresponds to the organic content in the surface layer. So you can see that the organic matter accumulation is higher in the soil from in naturally deposited materials than in the soil from in human transported materials, except for the soil from the Moshuru series. But this can be explained by the addition of mulch at the surface of the soil. And for the available nutrients, so we can see some trends in their distribution. So we have a higher supply in available calcium in soil and cross-pollution debris, which is related with their carbonate content, and a lower supply in available magnesium, potassium, iron, and manganese in the soil from in human transported materials, so which is probably due to the lower content of minerals which bear these elements, like aluminosilicates or oxides, in human transported materials. So in conclusion, we can see the influence of human activities on the dynamic soil properties through the action of atmospheric deposits, which is highlighted by an enrichment in heavy metals in the surface organic horizon. And we can also see the influence of human transported materials and artifacts by an enrichment in heavy metals along the profile, an higher pH in the soil with carbonating artifacts like concrete, and a change in available nutrients distribution. So in perspective, we would like to have more sites. So our goal is to have 20 pedants and also topsoil of green infrastructure sites, and to investigate the properties of each category of artifact to see what is their influence on the soil properties. We would like also to study the speciation of heavy metals to better understand their availability and their fate in urban soils. And we plan to study the clay mineralogy, since clay are very reactive soil components, and also to quantify total and black carbon in order to complete the assessment of carbon storage in the urban soil of New York City. So now the question we can ask is there a correlation between dynamics of properties and microbial diversity? So if you are interested, you can come for the presentation of Alonso Cordova. We present so the microbial diversity this afternoon. And to finish, I would like to thank all the soil scientists from USDA and NRCS who help us to describe the profile and to sample, and also all the students from Brooklyn College and the high school students who help us for the samplings and the analysis. And I thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much,
So the black carbon is a part of carbon which results from combustion. So it's very recalcitrant carbon which is stable in the soil. So it can come from natural fires, but generally and especially in urban areas, it comes from human activities, so fuel burnings or coal. So here we have soil formed in coal ash, so in this soil we have very high content of black carbon.
We don't
make the correlation, but I think in the soil forming coal ash, so we have very high content of black carbon, but we don't have very high content of heavy metals. So.
As you're looking at the different profiles and the different structures of the soil, are you seeing any indicators that would allow you to take a look at different testing, land use, soil topography, that would allow you to make some sort of generalizations about that soil?
So you ask if we. So you ask if we can generalize the heavy metals content.
Well, yeah, sure. Like, are there certain properties about soils that you can, I guess, generalize between certain areas? Like, in the soil survey, if you say, all right, this is a certain soil series, you can make certain assumptions about that soil. Are you seeing any consistency between the different areas where you make the generalizations? So that someone can come in and use this information?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, so for this project, we just sample one profile for each series. So, I don't know if we can generalize. For instance, the pollution.
Yeah. Okay. So we have to close.